Amen. Hey, we're going to be singing this morning 10,000 Reasons, and if we all had a chance to go on around the room with an hour to list the reasons that it is proper and wonderful to bless the Lord, I'm sure we would come up with 10,000 reasons before we left today. Praise the Lord that you can be here with us this morning. Praise the Lord for those that joined us online, and praise the Lord for his goodness. We praise the Lord for 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, a verse to meditate on this morning. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's take a minute to think about that before we stand to worship. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, please help us this morning. Pull us out of the routine of busyness, the routine of our minds being horizontal on what we need to do and what our week's been like and how we feel and all the things that can set us aside from true and holy and pure worship and set our minds on things above, not on things below. We need your help to do that, Father, this morning. And when we do it, what a blessing it is, how it blesses you and how it certainly blesses us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, let's stand and let's sing. One, two, three.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my
Father, we just bring our attention upon you to worship your holy name, the one and only. Thank you so much again for our time together this morning. Help us to lift our thoughts above where you are. In Christ's name, amen. One, two.
comfort fail, I fear no ill.
Father, we rejoice this morning in the truth of the words that we've just sung, the King of Love, my shepherd is. And if the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want, we shall not lack. You've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I pray, Father, that as we've come together this morning, we might sing your praises from hearts that are sincere, from hearts that are truly submitted to you. From the simplicity of our hearts, Father, may we give you the glory and the praise and the honor that you alone deserve. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for the salvation that is ours through Jesus Christ. And Father, as we come together this morning, I pray that we might be an encouragement to one another, that we might indeed weep with those that weep, that we might rejoice with those that do rejoice, and that we might esteem others better than ourselves, as we would indeed mimic our Savior and use him as our example, the one who is willing to humble himself and came to this earth as a man to die for man, to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And such a sacrifice, Father, is our example, as we would likewise sacrifice for others. And ultimately, may we indeed present our bodies as living sacrifices for you. And Father, as we come together this morning, we certainly are reminded that our Vacation Bible School starts this week, and we would pray for our Vacation Bible School. We pray for each teacher and helper as they would prepare. But Father, we'd also ask that you would prepare the hearts of each student, and that we'd have many who would come and that they would learn from your word, that there would be some who might come who do not know Christ is their Savior, and that through this week of instruction from your word and just a time of fellowship, that they might come to know Christ as Savior. Our children, even our adults, our teens, Father, we need to learn, we need to grow. There would be some who need to come to the knowledge of Christ as Savior, there needs to be some who would come to the knowledge of Christ as their Lord, to be fully surrendered to you. And so I pray this week in our Vacation Bible School that you might use it in each heart according to their need. And I would ask, Father, that our week would be a success in your eyes. Whether it's successful in man's eyes is not important. But we want it to be successful in your eyes as we would go through this coming week, asking you to use it in each one of our lives, that we would come prepared for you to work in our hearts and in our lives. Help us to be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Continue to guide us as a church. Give us wisdom. Give us direction. May we be humbled before the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Kay. Our Vacation Bible School does start tomorrow at 6 o'clock each evening this week from 6 to 8 o'clock. We have a class from 2 years old right up through the adult class. So we trust you are planning on being here. Look forward to this week together. A couple of things as it relates to Vacation Bible School. Perhaps the most important thing is that the adult class needs some cookies. So make some cookies and bring them tomorrow. For our refreshment time, we could certainly use some of those. And if you're health conscious, you can bring some fruit. I'm sure there'll be some that'll eat it. I want the cookies. But anyway, we'll have a good time together. Also, there's no evening service tonight. And often after our evening service is when we kind of set up for our Vacation Bible School. So there's no evening service tonight. So After Sunday school this morning, teachers, if you could be back in your rooms and if we could just all go back and do what the teachers tell you to do and help them set up for our vacation Bible school. And if you could do that after Sunday school this morning, since we're not having an evening service tonight, we'd appreciate that. Thanks for your help. In our adult class, if I could just mention, our speaker this morning is Fred Jacoby, and he will be speaking each night in our adult class. The subject for the entire week is Broken and Beautiful, Mental Health and the Bible. And this morning, and if you got a bulletin this morning, you'll see an outline that you can take some notes, but it's Broken and Beautiful, Breaking the Silence of Mental Illness. Tomorrow night, the Bible, the Brain, and the Body. Tuesday night, Battling Depression. Wednesday, Working Through Anxiety and Fears. Thursday, Overcoming Addictions. And Friday, Coping, Christ, and Conclusions. It should be a great week together. I trust you are planning on being here. Also, Scott Shores has just a word concerning our pulpit committee. And also, if you got a bulletin this morning, you saw an insert there concerning a job description.
Good morning. Okay, that was a great rendition, and all I could think about is, what a Savior. Isn't that why we're all here this morning? What a Savior. Should be anyway, right? I've been told that some of you may have not gotten an insert in your bulletin. If that's the case, why, we'll have somebody make some copies and put them back by the Connection Center. You can pick one up. It won't be me, because that copier out back there is a very intimidating thing for an old guy like me. Certainly different than the one I have in my office. But anyway, I want to, again, thank you for praying for us as a pulpit committee, and encourage you to keep praying for us. God promises to give us wisdom when we ask. So we're asking for wisdom in our search for the new pastor. So again, thank you for it, and please continue. We've been meeting regularly. We are progressing. Those of you that have the insert in your bulletin, I want to point out a couple things. There's the qualifications and job description. The job description that you see there, keep in mind, is a guideline. Okay, this is not going to be a union job where you're given a job description and you're not allowed to do anything in addition to it. That's not the case. One key phrase in there is, he is responsible to help the pastor in any areas that the pastor is responsible for. So it is a guideline, keep that in mind, but we had to have something developed that we could give the prospective candidate. Also, one other thing down under the children's section, I just want to point out, it does say there, he's going to oversee the nursery ministry, oversee the children's church ministry, oversee the Kids for Truth ministry, but it also says work closely with the director of that particular area. I don't want any of you directors or anybody involved in those ministries to think that he's going to usurp any of your responsibilities, however glad you might be for that. That's not the case. He's going to be on the team with you. You're still going to have your responsibilities. We desperately need anybody that is doing that now to continue. That's not the intent. You're going to have somebody there that's going to be helping, making sure you have everything that you need to make that ministry successful. So don't get nervous that you're going to lose your job, or don't get hopeful that you're going to lose your job. Maybe it's a better way to put it. Okay, so we're going to take questions and discuss it on Wednesday night, the 23rd. We didn't want to wait till the next business meeting because we want to keep moving in a timely fashion. So we are going to deal with it on a Wednesday night. It's going to be Wednesday, the 23rd. So I would encourage anybody to come. Any questions you have, we'll discuss it, and then we'll vote there as a church to move forward to that as a job description. Also, if anybody, if you're listening on Facebook, if you would like to get one of these bulletin inserts, email Justin and he can email it to you. And again, we'll have somebody make some copies and put them back there in the connection corner. So if you happen to pick up a bulletin that didn't have it in it, you can grab it back there. And again, thank you for your prayers. We can truly feel your prayers, and we are trusting God to lead us down this path. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Somebody wants to give him some training on the copier machine, go ahead. He'll be glad for your help. All right, we're going to actually go to the second hymn this morning so that we can increase our special speaker's time. Let's stand and sing, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee.
Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the threat of death. Teach me thy
be seated.
Lisa's going to come and sing before our speaker comes, but let me introduce him to you now. Fred Jacoby, he's the founder and director of Foundations Christian Counseling. We as a church are in partnership with them, which enables us to use those services on a discounted basis for each of those who would be clients to come for counseling. Zach Rollison, some of us know him. He was our Vacation Bible School speaker 2 years ago, and he comes up every other Friday and is available for counseling to those who desire to use that service. But Fred is the founder and director of Foundations Christian Counseling. He was actually scheduled to be our speaker for Vacation Bible School last year, but because of the pandemic, we had to cancel VBS last year, so fortunately, we were able to get him for this year. So we're looking forward to this morning, looking forward to the rest of the week. So we thank him for 2 years now in a row to set us aside that weren't able to do it last year. So Fred, thanks for being part of us. We look forward to having you here this morning and this week. Lisa.
Well, when we knew that Fred was going to be speaking this morning, we really wanted to find a song that would complement this important topic. And this song talks about how the first step of healing is simply telling the truth about our need for it, being honest with ourselves and others. And then it also includes a challenge to the church to genuinely act as a place where the hurting are welcomed, safe, and given hope. And this song is called Truth Be Told.
Line number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask how you're doing, just smile and tell them never better. Line number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. But truth be told,
To see you here today. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you to speak today and preach the Word of God. And now my wife and I were having a conversation the other week, actually after our special music, because at my church we have pretty much the same format here. And we were talking about how special music is a great time to really prepare people's hearts for the message. And I got to say that this was the perfect song for today's message. Thank you so much. For blessing us with that. Would you take a moment and pray with me, please? Father, we just come before you today. We are grateful for the opportunity just to come before you to give praise to your name. Because, Lord, we know that you are good, that you are worthy of all of our praise. The fact that you even accept our praise just shows your mercy and shows your grace because you listen to us, even our measly praise. But to you, Lord, it's wonderful. Father, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts today. We pray, Lord, that in speaking to our hearts, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts, but also give us wisdom and discernment as we reach out to others as well. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on behalf of Foundations Christian Counseling, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to partner with you as well. So some of you do know Zach, and I can tell you the first time I met Zach, I was already impressed and knew I had to hire him immediately. And so the fact that he's able to come up here and provide those counseling services to you is just wonderful as well. Now, I have the opportunity to preach at my church as well. I've served as associate pastor there, and now I'm the counseling pastor. And I can tell you that even in all the sermons that I've done at my church, that this sermon is a little bit different. It's a little bit different in terms of directly dealing with something that's that everybody is dealing with, but not in a lighter term, but in a heavier term to some extent. Because mental illness, in regards to talking about it at the church at large, people don't talk about it too much. There might be a little bit of sermon about, you know, cast your cares on him, a little bit of anxiety, a little bit about depression and such, but not necessarily going a little bit deeper than that. And so this sermon is just going to be maybe a little bit different than you might be typically used to, also because I am not Pastor Don. And so therefore, my jokes will be funnier. Thank you for your partnership. We are now done. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Well, it's great to see a lot of smiling faces, too, because here we are nearing the end of COVID time, and people have suffered physically. Some have just suffered maybe a little bit. Some have suffered a lot. And the effects of society's response to COVID with closures and mask mandates and the like has left a wake of brokenness. See, the fears of getting or spreading it, along with social isolation and social distancing, has had an effect on the mental health, actually, of many people, Christian and non-Christian alike. Since COVID, it's been reported that 4 in 10 adults have reported symptoms of anxiety and depressive disorders, which is up actually from 1 in 10 the previous year. In young adults, that number was about 56%. And about 1 in 3 people have reported having issues with sleeping and eating, and 1 in 10 have reported an increase in alcohol or substance abuse. Suicidal ideation has been on the rise. Stress levels have been higher. Marriage struggles have been amplified. Abuse in relationships has gotten worse. And unless a person is talking about it or they're completely falling apart, no one will know until it's pretty late. And as the song had said, when you ask people how are they doing and they say, I'm fine and I'm fine and I'm fine, but inside, not so much. Have you ever said that to someone? I'm fine, but inside, maybe you're not so fine. Well, in the church here, we come and we're friendly, but inside, we struggle. We struggle with personal issues. We struggle with emotional. We struggle with relational. We struggle with even mental health and mental illness. And the truth is that we as Christians, that there's this thing out there, and I don't know who put that thing out there, but maybe it's in terms of interpretations of scriptures, that we as Christians, there's a standard of saying, you as a Christian, you should have the joy, 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 joy down in your heart 100% of the time. And if you don't have the joy, joy, joy way down in the deep depths of your heart, then there's something wrong with you. And we have this expectation that we Christians shouldn't be anxious, because the word says be anxious for nothing. That we Christians should not have panic attacks or OCD or struggles, but we do. And there's this expectation or this standard of some sort that if you're struggling with a mental health disorder or illness, that you lack faith. But honestly, if you struggle, that's an opportunity to exercise faith. And if 25% of the population struggles, with mental health disorder, there's a good chance that someone you know, if not even yourself, is struggling as well. And friends, we need to look at that and respond well as a body of believers. Not only if we personally struggle, but also to minister to those who God has put in our paths who may also be struggling. And so this is my goal for us today. My goal is to first understand mental illness through a biblical lens. I want to break the silence. I want us to be able to speak the truth so that we can be open and talk about it. That we can be open and you can talk about it with somebody else if you are personally struggling, because it is okay to struggle. It is okay and best not to keep it in the darkness, but to bring it out in the light, at least with one other person. But also my third goal is this, is to learn to minister to those who are struggling with mental illness. So that's my goal today. So obviously that's a little bit different than a typical sermon, but it's something that I want to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Genesis 3. You can just keep your finger in there for a moment. Genesis 3. So first I want to ask the question, there are notes in there. If you want to take notes in your bulletin, feel free. If not, that's okay. You can draw pictures. So first I want to do is this, is just first define mental health. Mental health is simply this. It includes our emotional, our psychological, what we think, our spiritual, and our social well-being. It's just basically how we're doing. It affects the way we think, the way we feel, and act the way that we act. Our mental health essentially helps determine how we handle stress, how we relate to others, and how we make choices as well. And see, all of these things are influenced by a few different things inside. They're influenced by this, biological factors, such as genes, perhaps brain chemistry, and more recently, even gut health. Life experiences, such as maybe traumas, or even good experiences, bad experiences, traumas, abuse, and the bad experiences. Our heart's responses to these experiences in our lives. Our mental health is influenced by our family history, how we were raised. Our mental health is influenced by our outlook or our worldview, which obviously as Christians, that is essentially our faith. See, mental health is influenced by all of these things. And one of the differences, and the biggest difference between when you hear the term mental health and mental illness, is the effect that it has on one's life and how much it might disturb one's relationships or jobs or just in dealing generally with life. It affects a wide range of health conditions, moods, thinking, behavior. You've probably heard of all of these diagnoses before, and maybe have even been afraid of these diagnoses, such as depression or anxiety disorders or schizophrenia, eating disorders, addictive disorders, things of that nature. And I remember talking to someone once about they had a fear that they were going to be diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. And we don't need to go into what all of that is, but there was this fear about what it was, and they called me and they say, Fred, my other counselor said that they think that I might have this and I'm falling apart. And I had to remind her simply this, that such a diagnosis is an opinion. It's an opinion by a doctor someone has certain symptoms, then a doctor simply gives an opinion on what that is. We're going to go a little bit more into that on Monday night. But a mental health concern becomes a mental illness when these ongoing signs and symptoms, they cause frequent stress and affect the ability to function. So here are some symptoms. If someone is eating or sleeping too much or too little. If someone is pulling away from people or unusual or rather usual activities. If someone has low or no energy at all. If someone is feeling numb or like nothing matters. if there's been recent trauma or abuse or inability to perform tasks. Now, friends, your pastor might have called in a counselor to speak with you, but I am not here to diagnose you, okay? So you're safe from that. But has anyone ever felt any of those things at any point in time in our lives? And I think the answer is most of us have, at least at some point in our lives. In which case, those times, and if we're ever experiencing these things, these are one of God's ways of saying, hey, pay attention. This is important because I want to do something in your lives. So what is it? Right. That's what we just answered. Where did it come from? Where did these mental health concerns and issues come from? Well, Genesis 1:27 says this, that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. 1:31, he says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Right. Psalm 139 says, for you've created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. So in Genesis, we see that God has created us, right, in the image of God. We were very good. He worked hard at creating us, even within our mother's womb. But something happened in Genesis 3, didn't it? Genesis 3 is not a very hopeful thing. So if you have your Bibles there, I'm going to turn there. We're going to start with Genesis 3, verse 8. I'm reading from the NIV, so if your version's a little bit different, that is the reason why. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God. This is, of course, after they had eaten of the fruit. He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from God, from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is that? This that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, you will eat dust. All the days of your life I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. And you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food and return to the ground, since from it you were taken to dust. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. See, there are a lot of results here that we see from this passage, from the fall itself. We see that when they were, after that they had sinned and eaten of the fruit, and they hid from God, we see an aspect of shame and of fear of God, right? We see that shame. They were hiding, and they clothed themselves because they were naked. We also see from the fall that there was deception and blame. We see conflict with Satan. We see conflict between Adam and Eve, husband and wife. We see there was a problem now with the earth and the environment, that things became different as a result. We saw that work became painful toil. We saw there was death and decay. And we also see that there was separation from God. See, the fall affects every aspect of our being. It brings about physical struggles. It brings about spiritual struggles. It brings about relational struggles. It brings about emotional struggles. It brings all of these things in, and as a result of this, you and I have inherited this sinful nature. Theologians have this term, they call it depravity. And depravity is simply this, is that we are full of sin. We cannot escape it. It is there with us all the time. In Genesis 6:5, says the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And see, things haven't changed that much from the flood. Right? Society is pretty much very much the same. The intention, the thoughts of their hearts, of our hearts, are not all godly, are they? And so it's capturing this powerful theological word called total depravity. And it doesn't mean that as sinners, we're as bad as we possibly could be. But it means is that it reaches every aspect of our personhood. It damages us totally, physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, motivationally, socially. We have been damaged completely by sin. No one has dodged it. And so what essentially this means is this, is that our bodies or our brains don't work the way that they ought. Our hearts don't desire what they ought. Our relationships aren't as peaceful as they ought to be. Our emotions, what we feel, aren't what they ought to be. Our minds don't work as they ought to work. I saw some elbows hitting other people with these things. Well, friends, our mental health, mental illness even, goes back and can be traced all the way back to the fall. And the thing is that every person here will struggle with physical struggles, with emotional struggles, with different sin struggles, temptation struggles, spiritual struggles, relational struggles. And yet, while one person might struggle with physical, another might struggle with mental health and mental illness. One person might struggle with physical suffering, such as needing hip replacement, or cancer, or lupus, or whatever that might be. And yet someone else here in this congregation might struggle with depression and anxiety and bipolar. See, all of us are broken in some manner. Perhaps not equally, but all of us are broken. And so all of our suffering is just a little different. And you might say, I'd rather have a physical sickness than a mental health sickness. Or I'd rather have a mental health struggle than I would a physical struggle. Or I'd rather deal with this kind of thing that this person deals with than what I have to deal with. Well, compassionately, I must say, too bad. The thing is this, is that God did not cause our suffering. But the struggles that we have are the struggles that we have. The struggles that they have are the struggles that they have. But no one chooses to suffer with whatever they're suffering with. It's not a choice. But in yet whatever struggles that we have, God wants to reveal himself to you and to others. He wants to show you Christ and allow Christ to permeate your lives in whatever struggle that may be. Even if it's mental health or mental illness struggles. So where do we go from this? So we looked a little bit about what it is. We looked a little bit about where it comes from. And this is basically an overview. Throughout the adult VBS, we'll get a little bit deeper into some of these things. But now today, it's how do we as a church, how do we respond to mental illness within the church? Whether we're struggling with it or whether someone we know may be struggling with it. And friends, there's a very good chance that someone you know, if you're not struggling with it, is struggling with it. And so there's two aspects I want to focus on right now. One is this, is how do we help those who might have it, a mental illness? And the second will be, what do we do and focus if we are struggling with it? All right, so let's look at that first one. The best thing that we can do and to minister to those who are struggling with mental illness is to take into account in Luke 10 what Jesus talked and Jesus gave this parable about the Good Samaritan. So I want to read that to you. If you want to follow along, I'll be in Luke 10, starting with verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Well, what is written in the law?" he replied, "and how do you read it?" And he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself." "Well, you have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave him to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor of the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." See, friends, when we hear of someone struggling with a mental illness, and someone says, "You know, I was diagnosed with depression, and it's a severe depression. Or I was diagnosed with bipolar. Or I was diagnosed with borderline. Or someone comes to you and says, "Hey, I was diagnosed with one of these things." What's the first thing that kind of comes to your mind? And especially if they start telling you a little bit about their struggle. See, a lot of people and a lot of Christians hear this. They hear these big doctor-type words of diagnoses. And they say, "Whoa, that is too big for me. I don't think I can even minister or even help this person. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my prescription. And my prescription to you is this. I will pray for you." And then walk away. Because there is this stigma that goes on about diagnoses. The stigma that says, you know, stay away. Don't go near that because of what they're struggling with. Don't get involved. And so a lot of times even we as Christians might be like that priest that just kind of walked beside, you know, saying, "Hey, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to keep walking." See, the Good Samaritan, he did 4 things that I think we really want to pay attention to. The first he did this is he overcame any personal stigma of a Jewish person, because the Samaritans and the Jews did not get along. They said bad things about the other person. "Don't even go near the other person. They're bad. They're, you know, fill in the blank," whatever that might be. See, this Samaritan, he went beyond any kind of social stigma. He didn't listen to that stereotype. So that's the first thing that we need to do. Second thing is this, is that he saw the Israelite as a victim, not as a perpetrator. He saw the Israelite as a victim. And see, anyone who struggles with, it could be a physical disease, it could be a mental health or mental illness, this is not their choice. They didn't say, "Lord, please give me bipolar. Please give me depression because I want it. Nobody has prayed this prayer. And so the Good Samaritan saw this person as a victim. Third thing is that he stepped into the person's life to help with healing. He stepped into that person's life to help with healing. See, he didn't ignore this person, but instead he entered their suffering. He helped them at least get to the next step, get to that next place. He did provide a little bit of funds for him to help, and he, you know, with the addressings and things of that nature, and he did what he could. But we also saw in here, which is the fourth point really, is that he could not do it all. See, the Good Samaritan was a helper, but he was not a savior. He stood up, he went there, he entered that person's life, he helped them for a moment in time that he could, but he could not save the person. And so he gave the innkeeper money, he said, I'll take care of it later, but they had to go and do responsibilities. And so the Good Samaritan essentially loved his neighbor well. And see, this is what we ought to do. This is what we also need to do as a church to help those struggling with mental illness, right? To overcome the stigma. To see them as sufferers. To recognize them as sufferers. To enter their lives, to ask them their stories. To hear them. To speak to them, to listen, and take the time to listen to them. But also to recognize is we can't save them. Our goal is not to save them. But we as believers, when we can enter their lives, our goal is always to point to the Savior. Right? That is always our goal. To speak the truth to them, but to speak it in love. See, sometimes, and I know there are some in this church because there's some in every church, and that's a good thing. There are truth tellers and there are grace givers. Right? Truth tellers tend to just say, this is what God's truth says, just do it. Just do it. Right? There are grace givers who really just kind of walk beside and let's walk through this. The thing is both are needed, right? Both are needed because truth is what helps, but grace is the way to go about it. Right? One study of those who were diagnosed with mental illness while in the church said this, that they did not want to be treated as outcasts or as unclean. 78% of Protestants with mental health illness, they wanted fellow church members to merely get to know them as a friend. They just wanted to be treated like a person. And sometimes even those in ministry, we forget to do that too. Dr. Matthew Stanford, a professor of psychology, co-founder an executive director of a nonprofit organization that trains churches on ministering to those living with mental illness, says the church's role is threefold. It's to relieve suffering, it's to reveal Christ, and it's to restore lives. He says to do this, the church needs to treat individuals with mental illness the same way it treats anybody with an illness. Offer a supportive care structure. Help them spiritually. Help them understand where God is in the situation. And help them connect more fully to God in their suffering. Because faith can be incredibly therapeutic and empowering. We know that. It really is the foundation of our hope. And without hope, there is no recovery. When we begin with someone, we try to establish what their identity is. And that their identity is always in Jesus Christ. There we can move forward because now they understand their hope isn't simply a feeling. Their hope is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So regardless of circumstances, there is always hope because there is always Christ. And so if you know someone, or someone has come to you struggling with a mental health issue or illness or diagnosis, it's okay, don't run away. You know, minister to them. Love them well. But if you are someone who has a mental health illness, that you have been diagnosed, I want to encourage you today, don't be ashamed of it. It doesn't mean that you're any less of a Christian, that you're any less of a believer. You have the same value to God as someone who does not have a mental illness. Break, as the special music shared, right? Break that silence. Share your struggle with someone whom you trust, someone whom you know loves you. Understand this if you struggle, that you are both a sufferer, but also a participant. All right, a sufferer and a participant. And there's a balance in there. Because if you focus too much on being a sufferer, there'll be that victim mentality. But if you focus too much about being a participant, then you're going to blame yourself, you'll condemn yourself, and you'll actually make yourself that much worse in your mental health struggle. How many people here have ever condemned themselves for doing something wrong? Beaten themselves up over the head because of something wrong that's done? We all have, to some extent. And that truth that's in Romans 8:1 is essential for us because there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So for those who beat themselves up or for those who have a mental health illness and who focus so much on what they're doing wrong are focusing so much on the condemnation and yet not on the grace of God, because the grace of God conforms us. It changes us. It transforms us. A mental health struggle is always a spiritual struggle because it's an opportunity to draw near to God. Because it's an opportunity to draw near to God. If you are someone who struggles with a mental illness, it's okay to take medication. It is not your savior, but it can help. If it helps your mind and body function a little better, that's okay. Friends, I want to finish up with this. Is mental health struggles are difficult. Mental illnesses, going through it, is very difficult. We've probably read, and you've probably read of even pastors, even the holiest of holy people, pastors, youth pastors and such, who have even struggled with depression, who have even harmed themselves in committing suicide. And see, mental illness in the church is real. We have it. People have it. All of us are broken. We're just broken differently. But yet in God's eyes, our brokenness does not change the love He has for us, the grace that He has for us. Because in His eyes, we may be broken, but we are also beautiful. Right? Father, we come before You. We just thank You for this time today, this opportunity today, to hear, just a little different sermon, a little different of a message. But something that we all need to hear, because we've all had stereotypes and we've all had things in our minds when we've considered other people that have suffered or struggled with other things besides us. Or we've even have misconceptions about ourselves that we've struggled with mental illness or mental health struggles. But Lord, one thing that we do know is this, is that You've died for all of us. That You are our hope. So Father, help us to overcome these things, these stigmas. Help us to love others, to reach out as the Good Samaritan had done in Your parable. Help us to love well, and Lord, help us to receive the love that You've given. And we've asked this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. In Adult VBS, we're going to be going over a little bit more detail with each one of these, depression, anxiety, addictions, and so forth. And so if it's something that you struggle with, you know someone who struggles with these things, we're going to go a little bit deeper into how to help those, but also if we're struggling, how to help overcome them ourselves through grace and through the gospel.
Scripture tells us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I trust that you are determined to be a person of refuge for those who are struggling. And as Fred has shared, if you're one who is struggling, find a person of refuge and share that burden with them. There are those who are willing to step into your life and to help you in that struggle. Trust that we'll take that to heart this morning. We thank you, Fred, for sharing with us. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity this morning to hear concerning mental illness and the struggles that we all face to one degree or another. I pray that we would bear one another's burdens. We would weep with those that weep. Pray, Father, that we might, as we gather together, encourage one another to love and to good works, but also to encourage and to comfort. And I pray, Father, that through this morning, as well as through the rest of this week, that you would use your word in our lives to form us and to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. We thank you again for your love for us, for your grace. We recognize that Christ was full of grace and truth. And may we likewise be full of grace and truth, speaking your truth without compromise, but also speaking it in love and showing grace upon those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Encouragement to you, please seek us out. That's why we're here. Shall we stand? Father, we thank you again for this opportunity. As we go into our Sunday school hour, may you continue to speak to us through your word. And as we leave this place this morning, may we meditate upon that which we have heard. May we examine our own hearts, allow you to search us and to know our ways. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.